Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from thousands of successful individuals from around the world. I'm your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm privileged to welcome a very senior and accomplished professional from Utah, USA, Mr. Gary C. Laney. Gary, welcome to the show.
Yes, it's a pleasure. Thank you for the opportunity and invitation. Thank you.
Thank you. Gary is the Chief Executive Officer of Success Mantras. Success Masters, my apologies. He's a two times best-selling author, and all of you know I'm very partial to authors. His new book is The Power of Strategic Influence, and I'm going to speak about him with him about the power of strategic influence. He's a former high-tech software executive, a former co-founder and CEO of Trustegrity, and he's a serial entrepreneur for 20 businesses. So, Gary, before we start talking about your book, tell me a little bit about your own journey.
Well, it's been a fun journey. People ask me what I've done for my career. I said, well, I think I'm in my fourth career. Mm-hmm. So it took a little while, but I'll just give you the nutshell version, basically. I grew up in a family entrepreneurial setting. My father was an entrepreneur. My grandfather was an entrepreneur. My great-grandfather was an entrepreneur. It runs in the blood. Oh. Even though my father didn't want me to just go into business but for myself when I first got out of school. Mm-hmm. He wanted me to get an education. I followed his counsel. Mm-hmm. And I got I worked for a corporate entity for about 6 years, decided to get my MBA, went to Northwestern Kellogg's. It was a great experience.
Yeah.
And then coming out of that, I started out as a consultant, but then had an opportunity to be a VP of sales for a company and pursued a corporate path for about the next 25 years. Mm-hmm. Starting in commercial publishing 10 years, and then about 18 years, more than 25, if you add the two together, in high-tech software sales.
Mm.
Managing and developing and launching software organizations, the sales and marketing side. Mm-hmm. So that's what I've been doing for the last, during my career. However, in 2005, my children were getting to the age where I wanted to be home. I didn't want to be, when you're a VP of sales, you're always at the beck and call of your clients and your salespeople. And so I didn't want to travel quite so much. I wanted to be home for some ball games, wrestling matches, tennis matches for my daughters, et cetera. And so I quit, which was a shock to a lot of people because I was at the height of my career doing really well, just helped the company go public. And so I decided that I was going to follow my past or my future, I should say, entrepreneurial roots that I was destined to. I really felt like I was destined to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I chose to leave in a way, and we were building a multi-million dollar house at the time. So it was kind of a scary time to leave a very comfortable position. Mm-hmm. So I told my wife, I said, listen, I found a person I can partner with that has an established business. I'm not going to just start from scratch. Mm-hmm. Don't worry about our construction loan. Don't worry about our retirement. I'm going to go into something that has a safety net. And so she was comfortable with that, I think. Well, I think today she'd probably tell me she was nervous, mm-hmm. but she supported me nonetheless, which was really, really amazing of her. She and I just celebrated our 43rd wedding anniversary.
Yeah.
Thank you. Traveling through Spain for 2 weeks. And so I have to give her credit for almost everything I've done in life since she has been the support and the anchor for everything.
Fabulous.
So make a long story short, I entered this partnership without really understanding that the business was solid, the person was solid, but not understanding, not realizing there are constructs of a mm-hmm. partnership that have to be in place for two personalities to come together and work well together.
Yep.
I did not map that out correctly or even sufficiently. Mm-hmm. And so about a year into it, we had problems, even though I had been hired to be the president of the firm. Mm-hmm. And so it was evident that I had to leave the partnership, that it was not going to work. He was not going to relinquish control to me as president. And so, I was at a vulnerable point. I had a multi-million dollar house I was building, concerned about, whether I'd be able to not only take care of my family, but, not lose this important investment I was developing. And so I decided to fall back on my relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And what later would soon become a very important force to be reckoned with in my life, and that is networking. relationships that matter, relationships that are meaningful, that actually care about you, that have what strategic meaning. That's why the name of my book is called Strategic. And so I started getting referrals of business brokers, businesses for sale, opportunities. I evaluated over the next 3 months. I had about 3 months of cash stored away besides what I was trying to do for my house. I told my wife, I've got 3 months to figure it out. Don't worry. She worried, I think. So to make the long story short again, I evaluated 200 businesses in 3 months. I narrowed it down to 10 and I bought seven. Okay. These are all small businesses. Most of them related. So I figured I'll just follow the money. They're related. I'll just be myself, just like I'm working for other corporations, and build, you know, a small empire, hopefully. So that actually happened over the next 7 years. We got our house built, comfortably living in it, started making more money than I'd ever made before, ever in corporate. I didn't have stock options. I guess my stock options were my equity in my business, obviously. But turned out to be a fabulous decision.
Wonderful
experience. And today I have nothing but happy, you know, memories from that. And
fantastic. Success. Thank you. That's what a great story. So, Gary, let's talk about your book, The Power of Strategic Influence. What inspired you to write The Power of Strategic Influence?
Many things, but I'll start with Stephen Covey. Stephen Covey, that wrote the book, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People.
Yeah.
And I have one of his first copies up on my shelf because he was a trainer slash advisor to the company I was working for. He was not well known at the time, back in 1979. Mm-hmm. His book was published in 1989. But we were the guinea pigs for these habits. I remember him getting up on a whiteboard. Actually, maybe it wasn't a whiteboard. It was just one of those paper pads, you know, where you flip the paper. Mm-hmm. And said, I want to share with you some habits I think would be good for you guys. We were all young, 20-something, you know, salespeople. And I was a manager. And then moving up the ranks year by year. Over the next 10 years, I got to know him extremely well, learned what influence really means, how do you take relationships to the next level, although much of what he spoke about was very philosophical. So as I finished working in that organization, moved on to others in high tech, et cetera, I had to learn how to take these principles, these habits, and turn them into something that was applicable and could be installed into their process, their sales process, their business process. And so I extended the principles of Seven Habits over and over and over to the point where I had a methodology that was proven that could be used in any industry. I didn't care. It didn't have to be high tech, even though I was really good at complex selling. So Stephen Covey and those principles helped me to form my philosophy, which was more practical, I thought, and more applicable to the people that were trying to use those philosophical principles. And I have nothing against Stephen Covey because he's bigger than life to me and made such a huge impression that I taught his principles for 35 years. So I want to make that loud and clear. So COVID was what was the second impetus. I just sold Trustegrity that you mentioned during COVID, decided to take a break because, again, I was traveling a lot. And wanted to be home with my family, wanted to think of another business. And my daughter, my wife, and my granddaughter, I have two of my granddaughter's books up here behind me. She's a published author twice. She's 21 years old.
Wonderful.
Or not, maybe she's 20, 21, I think. So, yes. They invited me because they were in a contest to write 50,000 words for a book. Since then, my daughter has finished a book. My wife is still working on it. She went back to college. But let's test this. I thought that COVID would last 6 months. And everybody thought by June, July, this was October when I was starting my book, that it would last 6 months or so, you know, maybe April or May. And so I said, okay, I've got 6 months. I'm going to set a budget. I'm going to create this book. I'm going to take everything I know. I'm going to put it into the book and it's going to be systematic. My book had to be step-by-step systematic and something that could be implemented by the people that read it. With great stories, by the way, that I pulled from a researcher that helped me. And then also 12 people that I interviewed that would follow each of the 12 chapters. Great business people, leaders from around the world, globally known, that matched magically somehow the chapters that I assigned them to. So that's kind of how it came about. And
Interesting. And how would you define strategic influence in the context of your book?
the first title of my book was The Power of Influence. And the more I looked into the title, looked at competing titles that were similar, I realized that none of them taught what I was teaching. It was all social media. It was all, you know, somewhat relationship, but not long-term relationships. And my book was about how do you prepare yourself, number one, for business? How do you start to develop influence by accessing, borrowing influence from other people that trust you? Then when you become trustworthy, they give you more influence, which allows you to enter into big circles of influence. But finally, it's about the long-term picture. Almost everybody in my book that I feature, the leaders, all have a sense of strategic influence in their lives. They surround themselves with people that they trust, that are mentors, that they can help as well. It's bilateral. It's reciprocal, I should say. Right. And they work on those relationships throughout their lives. It's not a one-time transactional situation. So this book is not transactional. It's not social media. It's about relationships that matter, that help you in the future, and then allows you, as you said, because you're doing this podcast to give back, to those people to give back as they develop those relationships, as they learn and gain skills.
Well said. My next question is that how has the digital age and the rise of social media platforms influenced the concept of strategic influence?
Well, so I have to give credit to social media, because even strategic thinkers, strategic influencers have to have a reality that social media has a big impact. And so it's marketing. So I think you have a multi-tier strategy, marketing strategy, where you think, okay, I've got strategic people in my life, a small amount of them, a handful of them that I'm going to rely on, and I'm going to be in some of their circles too. But social media allows me to get the word out, gives me exposure, gives me the ability to have people learn about me and my purposes much earlier on. And so I think that's it. So I think this digital age, it makes a huge impact. If you don't take advantage of it, you're really not utilizing the advantage and the opportunity in front of you. But I think the direction you get, the guidance you get, has to be strategic. And that's where I fall back on my relationships that are strategy
focused. Fascinating. And how does one recover or rebuild one's strategic influence after a professional setback or a failure?
I think the failures help you, actually. I've always said that, you know, you should expect the unexpected. The very first chapter of my book is about, two chapters are about perspective. It's about, number one, counting the costs up front, saying, I can survive. I'm going to make a decision right now that before I enter this process, this company, this job, that I've decided I will stay with it. Whatever life throws at me, I will be a survivor. So survival mentality is really important. Second is the people have to be involved in that strategy. Again, that long-term strategy. And then, of course, that short-term strategy that you talked about in social media. So I think failures do nothing but open your eyes, help you understand what you did wrong, gives you another chance to start it and try it again. And that's how you become what my next book is going to be talking about, a master over certain skills that you can only learn through trial and error, which many times is a failure. And by the way, failure to me means using concepts you believe are true that don't quite become successful until you've tried them many times. Look at, you know, Albert Einstein and the many that did so many of the trial and error type strategies.
Well said. And Gary, are there any ethical considerations when exerting strategic influence? And if yes, how do we ensure that we are influencing in a positive manner?
I'm sorry, tell me the first part of that question more time.
Are there any ethical considerations when one exerts strategic influence?
So you're asking me what could be the result?
What could be the ethical considerations?
Ethical, thank you. Okay, well, ethics are a big part of my life. You notice that the company that my co-founder was called Trust Integrity.
Yeah.
Trust plus integrity. And I'll just give you a couple of experiences. You can't have relationships without trust. Relationships not built on trust are, which was what happened in my partnership, cannot be long-term. You might see the short-term results, but you'll never see the results of what the potential of that relationship could be. So ethics to me means that going into what I call, I have seven steps. I have a whole chapter dedicated to developing a trusted partnership because of that bad experience I had. And it starts with saying to each other, what are your goals? What do you want to do? Where do you want to go? Mm-hmm. And we both agree that if there's something to it, that we're heading in the same direction. Got to start with that. There's integrity in that. Mm-hmm. And secondly is, what's the next step? Well, we have to agree how to get there. Mm-hmm. If you have a short-term approach and I have a long-term approach and we can't fill the gap, we'll never end up with a trustworthy relationship because we'll always be fighting with each other. Mm. So I think step by step, we're trying to get up this pyramid that I created in my book that shows you through relationship building, by trying to identify what path you should be on, working together to create something that is aligned, and then getting to the point where you're comfortable working with each other, you can represent each other, you don't have to worry about each other. You finally arrive at that point you call trust, and then the ethics drive the trust towards amazing results, I think.
And the principles of strategic influence that you talk about in your book, would these apply uniformly across industries and professions or geographies?
So I worried about that a little bit because everything I'd done had been mostly in North America. Mm-hmm. But I had lived as a young man in my 20s. I lived in Europe and in Spain, actually, for 2 years, and had a remarkable experience in a society and a culture that I had no idea existed. It was really amazing. Mm-hmm. I even lived with families from Spain. And so I knew that a lot of what I had learned in life about relationships had come from Stephen Covey and that experience in Spain. Mm. Where I learned how to accept cultures, accept people for who they were, to understand that diversity had a big play in your life and in trying to build something magnificent. Mm. And so, and by the way, when I launched my book, that was the true test. Mm-hmm. Because all of a sudden I started to see that I was selling books in India, in the UK, in China, in Africa, in Western Europe, and of course in the US. Mm-hmm. And so that was validation for me, what I had built, the principles were relatable to other people because we're talking about relationships. I mean, you know, relationships mean I care about you. I have authentic, you know, intentions toward what we're going to do together. Mm-hmm. It means I'm going to do what I say I'm going to do. I think that's a worldwide principle. I think that's what I learned. And it's done well in that regard.
Great response. Thank you. My next question, Gary, is how can leaders employ strategic influence to motivate and guide their teams?
Well, if I'm working for someone and I feel like I can trust them, if I feel like they have ethics that we've mentioned, mm-hmm. and that their focus is long-term for me, for the company, for the clients, for our customers, and also for their own objectives, I think that we can agree that we're all going to jump on board. We're going to be much more supportive. It's going to be more concise in our strategy, and the alignment of our goals are going to come together much more nicely. Mm-hmm. So I really believe that a leader that doesn't practice strategic influence, and there's in my book, I cover 10 competencies. Since then, I've uncovered 50 competencies as from surveys I've done with over 1,000 business leaders around the world. And they all point back to the strategic element of everything we're talking about, from communication to business strategy to relationships. That strategic element is the running thing.
Well said. I have time for two more questions. How do you see the concept of strategic influence evolving in the next decade, especially in the face of so much technology?
Well, I'm going to take technology and I'm going to add to it leadership, because my book has a chapter on leadership. The goal is how do you become a leader? Then how do you become a responsible leader? How do you take advantage of the opportunities as a leader? And so the future and technology, and I was in technology for almost 20 years and not really left it because in the companies I've been involved with, I've developed a lot of technology. Mm-hmm. But I think that there has to be an understanding that you can't rely on AI to just run your company. You can't just turn on this machine with AI and say, you know what, it's going to send out emails, it's going to take care of my customers, it's going to create new strategies, because it relies on what it finds on the internet. Mm-hmm. And I found through my AI development strategies and content I've created just for fun, I haven't written books with AI, that it borrows from people, and sometimes using plagiarism, by the way, they don't get authority and approval to do that. And it doesn't always come together with my mindset. I have a strategy. Stephen Covey had a vision, and that could never be created with AI. So technology, you use it for your own purposes as a tool. And just as we used technology to help companies develop forward-thinking document management systems and having knowledge centers, you know, that they could access, it came from human beings, but we were collecting it through technology.
Interesting. And my last question to you, Gary, and this is for the many, many people who will listen to our conversation. Based on your own amazing experiences in the corporate world, as an entrepreneur, as an author, what would you say are three lessons you would want our viewers and listeners to take away from our conversation?
Well, I think I've covered most of it, but number one is that to be successful, you have to have a survival mindset. Mm-hmm. It means you have to count the costs up front. You have to decide what you want. It has to be purposeful. It has to be meaningful. It has to be something that's going to drive you. Because without purpose, when you get to a roadblock, you may not get past it. So that's number one. Number two, that the fact that some people are influential does not mean you can't be influential. But influential can be started from scratch, by the way. If you've looked at my book, the very first chapter talks about a man or a person. I use a man because it's me I'm representing. Lands on an island with zero contacts, with very little money, with no influence, but they do have the skills that they possess. And so how do you go about becoming influential? First of all, becoming trustworthy with people. They trust you, they rely on you, and you become reputable. Then you start to develop a little bit of influence and use it for good. It has to be positive influence being used to help other people. And ultimately, that you're from the mindset that we talked about, not only survival mindset, but you're wanting to give back from day one when you have skill sets and the ability to help other people. Well, that's number two. Number three, I think, is my main message in my book, and that is that you cannot self-proclaim to be influential. People become leaders by title, and they think that gives them authority. The things that they think, from my experience, they think that it gives them the ability to manage properly and effectively, and it doesn't. People follow you because you're influential, because they trust you, they believe in you, and they like your vision. So Nando Cesarone, who I interviewed for my new book that's coming up, I don't have the title quite there, but it's about leadership transformation, and it'll be announced and launched in the next few months.
Oh, wonderful.
Nando Cesarone, he's the president U.S. of UPS. And during our conversation, I asked him, I said, what is a leader to you? He's been with UPS for 34 years, started from nothing, as a part-time student. And today he runs the biggest operation of UPS in the world. He's also the EVP of the entire company. He said, Gary says, I said, why do people, you know, as leader, why are people leaving their jobs? Because we have this great resignation thing going on. And Nando responded that people don't leave their jobs. They leave their leaders. You leave the people that you want to trust, that you want to follow. But if you don't have that trust, you don't believe in them, if you don't feel influenced by them, you leave. Even though it might be a great company, might be great pay, you just can't survive that. I think that's an important concept.
Well said. And on that note, Gary, and your three wonderful lessons, have a survival mindset. Second, you said everyone can be influential. And third one, I just love when you said that you cannot self-proclaim to be influential. And this takes me back many, many years in the corporate world when we used to be told respect needs to be earned, not demanded.
Thank you.
Thank you, Gary, for speaking to me about your own amazing journey. I love the way you moved from a senior executive into an entrepreneurial role and then became a serial entrepreneur. Thank you for talking to me about your book, The Power of Strategic Influence. I think I learned many new things from you today on how you can actually create that little bit of strategic influence in the circle around you. Thank you also for talking to me about all the work that you have been doing with so many different people who have who you have spoken to for your book. All the very best for your new book. Thank you for speaking to me and good luck.
Thank you so much. I asked for the opportunity and look forward to developing a relationship with you over time. And thank you so much for this opportunity today. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.